Yeah, buddy, it's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Cowboys fans, how you feeling as training camp approaches? I was just saying there at the end of that segment that I think George Pickens, you know, gives this team an opportunity to be exciting on offense. I think the second half of last year, you know, showed that their defense does have a lot of potential, even though it finished horribly well. But, I mean, some of the reactions on text, I'm not hype, LMAO, LOL, Dawson. What do you guys think? Is that being homer to think that this offense could score 30 points per game? And, you know, you have this incredible group of pass rushers that have a chance to give you a defensive identity. I know.
Oh, that would be great.
They have problems with defensive backfield a lot, right? And mm-hmm. I know they're not going to be a good tackling team, but I think they could have one of these years like they did in 21, 22, and 23, where maybe we're like cynical about their chances of winning in the playoffs, but yes. They're piling up wins.
Yes. I mean, I think that regardless of how we feel about Dak, Dak is a good quarterback, and he's proven he can win in the regular season. We can have a different conversation once you get into the postseason, but this team's had a lot of regular season success. I think they are going to be a good team this year in the regular season. I expect them to win 10 wins, yeah. Compete for the division. If they don't win the division, they'll be a wild card team, in my opinion. I think they'll be in the playoffs. But it is one of those things where it's like, I've gotten super geeked out and excited about the offense and what they're saying this time of year and watching them do some red zone drills out in Oxnard, and then none of that's shown up when the game matters and the bullets are flying. So for me, it's like I got to wait and see before I fully go ahead and drink that Jerry Kool-Aid.
Well, the thing about it is that I don't think the quarterback's going to be the problem here. Mm-mm. I really don't. I think the quarterback's going to have a good year, and I'm not selling it. I'm really not. But I think people are conditioning themselves like, it's every damn year. Every year we talk about this. But you know what? It's my opinion. I think the quarterback's going to be fine. To me, this is going to hinge on how well these coaches adapt. The new coaches, how well the play caller adapts, and how well that he is a head coach. You know, it's all feeling great right now with all the ability in the locker room. Everybody's feeling good. Low love football again. But let's see when the adversity happens. Mm-hmm. I think to me, this I do believe that the quarterback is going to be fine. But I do have my concerns. It's not about so much about the players. I have concerns about the coaching staff because I don't know. I haven't seen this coaching staff operate. You know, I don't know what I'm going to get with Brian Schottenheimer. My hope is that I get a guy that's able to take what the quarterback is really good at and be able to advance that. I think that Mike McCarthy was able to get good play out of Dak. I don't think he was willing to advance it to make it go even further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that's why my biggest problem with Mike McCarthy, you had a guy that was a MVP type of a quarterback, and you just sat there and said, we're good. We're just going to kind of continue. You did nothing to advance him. Yeah. You did nothing. And that's where I think this is going to fall on the shoulders of this group.
I mean, and the space that Ferguson should have to operate in the passing game just a little bit more because
Perkins, we don't know, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying this, Dawson.
You can't double both, though. These guys have gravity to them.
No,
absolutely. We know Ferguson's going to have more room to operate.
That's the key. I mean, I personally do not know how this offense is going to look.
No clue.
I have no clue. Now, I do trust the quarterback, and this is where people like, you're home or broad, shut the hell up. No, this is where I think a guy who is a veteran quarterback is getting himself ready to do whatever they ask him to do. They just need to make sure that they get him to that level.
Here's why I'm confident the floor is significantly higher than last year, because he has a lot of things as a veteran quarterback that you know is going to work. We're trying to add to it. If it's not working, you have things that this passing game could go to. And now that he has multiple receivers and a better offensive line, to me, it comes down to how good are your tackles and how good is your secondary defensively.
Sure. I absolutely think the tackle play is one of my bigger questions. How does Tyler Guyton look? I think that's something we're all going to be keeping a massive eye on once we get to Oxnard. And the thing is, they have a little
bit
of...
They can do things to kind of help him, though.
They can.
They can absolutely do things to try and help him scheme-wise.
Yes, and they have a little bit of a fail-safe. They don't want to do it. But they do have the ability to move Tyler Smith to left tackle, and you know he's going to be a good player there. And they've got plenty of options of players that can move in and play left guard. Maybe it's Awesome Richards. Maybe it's Robert Jones. Maybe it's Brock Hoffman. Maybe it's TJ Bass. Maybe it's Nate Thomas who they took. Like, they got a lot
of interior linemen.
Nate
Thomas has been the backup at right tackle.
So
he's been the number two. But you're right. You're not right. He could
just bodies.
Yeah,
let the cream rise to the crop, right? The whatever the hell I just tried to say there.
I think you nailed it. Yeah.
To the top.
It rises to the crop,
but the top.
Yeah. The cream of the crop, buddy. No, I get it. And you mean the text is on fire. I think there's a lot of passionate opinions. But, Brian, I think you nailed on something that I think this fan base has become so cynical.
They have, and I don't blame them. I don't blame them. They do not want to hear Brian Broaddus tell them that their quarterback's going to be fine. They don't want to hear that. They want to see their quarterback be fine. They actually want to see him go out and be one of the top six, seven quarterbacks in the league. I mean, that's what they want to see.
It was a pick a game last year. I think this year they face all three of the top defenses from last year. I mean, it is a murderer's row of defenses if they're as good as they were last year. And if they are good, they're going to have to earn it, starting with the Eagles week one. You know, yeah. That's just it's going to be really interesting once this gets going because of, you know, what Pickens is going to present as far as a deep threat is going to open up a ton of stuff underneath in the passing game. And then it's going to give you such favorable looks running the ball. They're going to look back on a Sunday night or a Monday morning, think, how did we not run it more? We have to double down on running. And then you will get to the balance that this organization has needed since 2014. Like when Romo had that great year in 14, 29 passing attempts per game. On average.
Yeah, it wasn't until Murray broke his hand late that they didn't throw the ball, right?
Yeah.
In that game, remember it was like they leaned on Murray, he broke his hand, and then all of a sudden they went into pass mode to try and help and Romo was ready. You know, they're going to need Blue not to be behind on this offense.
Yeah.
They're going to need Blue to be ready to go, whether it's routes, pickups, whatever, handing him the ball. They can't afford to have him behind and then trying to catch up.
I think he was talking with Kay Adams or somebody as well, this Fanatics thing over the weekend, and I really like what I saw as far as his attention to detail and everything he's saying. He is going to be ready in the passing game, but you're right. You know, and I think it's got to start with, do you have better running backs than
you
did last year?
Do you understand your assignment?
Oh, yeah.
That's the number one thing. You cannot go in there and bust as a running back. Not in this offense you can.
Okay, Dez Bryant predicting an NFC East team will win the Super Bowl. You know, now that's something I need a lot of great answers to. But I think health is huge here with Diggs and Overshown. You know, if they were playing at their peak coming into this year, I could see the Cowboys being there. But right now, that's just that's too much of a leap. And I think missing Diggs and Overshown and some of the injuries they've had, even going back to Tony Pollard against the Niners in the playoffs, like. You know, and I don't want to be, you know, like Brian right now, people thinking that I'm a homer or anything, but I want to be objectively honest about what this team is capable of. And their injuries to Pro Bowlers and All Pros during the Mike McCarthy era was horrible.
Yeah.
And if they had just had regular, like what happened to San Francisco and Detroit last year was bad. And in any one year, that's worse than what the Cowboys have been dealing with. But they didn't win the championship either. And the amount of injuries they had, like Zach Martin getting old at 34, Tyron Smith not being able to play on the other side of 30 consistently, Zeke getting old while Derrick Henry is still putting up all pro years. Like they did a hell of a job putting a lot of great players on this team. And I think we would fault them for not doing more, but I think they did enough. I think they did enough. The biggest thing that held back the McCarthy era was those injuries. Okay.
I think the coach held them back, though, too, a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, and I say that with the situation of the coach. I wish he would have stepped up and said, listen, we need to try and advance this thing.
Yeah,
and they really didn't. They really didn't advance it.
No, but I think Kellen Moore, didn't he just show that we don't have to have a tricky offense?
I'm not saying offensive line and the best running back in the game. That's certainly going to help you a lot.
Yeah, I think the thing with Kellen Moore is I'm not talking about tricking you. I'm talking about a better understanding of like how to create opportunities, how to whether it's scheme guys open, whether it's the light box, where, you know, however you have to do things, zig when you need to zag, those types of things. There was nothing with Mike McCarthy that just led me to believe that, like, okay, the players you're playing with right now are going to get better the next year. You know, Dak coming off that year, you know, you're thinking, okay, hey, we have something to build on here. Let's build on that. And they really didn't.
Yeah,
and I'm taking a lot of shots at Mike, but I do believe that this team, this offense is only going to be as good as its coaches. They've got players. They have got players to handle this. They've got players to move the football. They need the coaches to be able to step up and be a part of that. And if they're not, then we're going to be talking about a whole nother thing this time next year.
And that was part of Dez's quote. He said, Shotty's got to get in there and figure out the best scheme to score points. And if we score points, we're good. I think they can be good. But in order to be great, like Kansas City and Philadelphia, top five defense last year. You know that. So where I need to see it would be, I'd say to Dez, how could you believe this Cowboys defense that was 28th in the NFL last year could take that big of a step forward?
They were in such a hole right off the jump. Those bad games against Baltimore. I mean, I know they almost came back in that game, but the New Orleans game was awful.
It was
the Detroit game, historically bad. Yeah, it was a historically bad. The first 6-7 weeks of the season, this defense was bad, and the offense wasn't much better.
The Thunder are champions thanks to a historically good defense, and now we turn our attention to what this Mavs offseason is going to look like other than drafting Cooper Flagg next week. Here's Kyrie Irving, who has a big player option coming up. What's he think of these Mavs situation?
It's an exciting time to be a Dallas Maverick. It's an exciting time to be a Dallas Maverick fan. Shout out to MFFL, all the supporters that have been rocking with us. Getting this number one pick, we had a 1.8% chance. So I loved it. I enjoyed seeing all of the excitement, not only from the city, but from our executive leadership, from our ownership group, from my teammates. This is one of those times in not only my career, but just in the legacy play of being a Dallas Maverick where we have a chance to do something special. So I know Nico's going to do a great job. I know Patrick's going to do a great job. I know Mark's going to do a great job. And it's been an exciting journey thus far, even just being in Dallas. You know, it's been up and down, sort of say, just in terms of the circumstances and situations, but we've been doing our best. I've been doing my best, and I'm one of the leaders on the team. So I got to stay stoic, stay poised, ready for the moment, ready to articulate what's going on, and be ready to move forward.
It's awesome. Kyrie has evolved into the perfect team leader and team spokesman. Obviously, coming off a disappointing year, 39-43. ESPN's power rankings for this group right now, putting the Mavs outside the top 10. They got them at 14th, up just three spots since winning the draft lottery there with Cooper Flagg. So I think the Cooper Flagg acquisition is just tremendous for this organization long term. But what sort of an impact is it going to have year one? And, do you think 14 is low? I guess without Kyrie Irving, 14 feels fair to me.
Yeah, because you don't know how they're going to replace him. I mean, there's reports out that they're trying to figure out how to convince Chris Paul to come in. Maybe that's their number one target right now for a guy to kind of run the show until Kyrie's able to come back. I don't know how that works between that dynamic when Kyrie does. Maybe it's just Chris Paul comes off the bench and he's okay with that at this point in his career. I do like the option of talking to Boston, maybe to try and get Derek White or Drew Holiday. I know that contract's a bummer of one, but I think the roster's good. It's just counting on old bones and Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, but you still have Lively and Cooper Flagg that really should kind of be the focus moving forward. Like, that is your future right there with those two.
Yeah, I'm trying to win a championship now like David Robinson and Sean Elliott did with Tim Duncan. And then, see how, we can go from that point forward into the future. And I feel great about, the long-term future because of those two guys that you mentioned. But in year one, it is, it's tough to know. I would think if you're going to go get Chris Paul, I would say, and can we get a Malcolm Brogdon? Because even when Kyrie comes back, I feel like their backcourt is way overmatched when it comes to ball handling and creativity. And that's why they were talking about getting Max Christie, minutes in the backcourt and Cooper Flagg minutes in the backcourt. I'd be looking to get that solved with a trade. And that's part of what makes this so exciting. Like, a lot of Mavs off seasons, we've hoped, but I guarantee this thing is going to be explosive because Nico's got to feel the pressure. Oh, yeah. I have to get this thing right, and we better be good early. Or, the calls for that job are going to be loud and should be. Okay, we'll hit the C note. Cowboys news of the evening coming up next here. It's the G-Bag Nation. Rangers pregame coming up at 5, and we're back in the Fan.